Here we go.
It's Thursday, 7 p.m., and time for another edition of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
Call our guest line at any time during the show and talk about wine on air. Dial 646-727-3235. That's area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa. The philosophy for my brand, Rainborn, is to only use dry farm vineyards, hence the name Rainborn.
The best way to reach us here at Ten Spoon in Montana is to go to www.tenspoon.com.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, that's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Vivac Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Call now and talk about wine on air. Dial 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, Lavinia is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Rocket Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
And now, it's the show dedicated to the wine industry.
Come and visit Sheila Larrabee is in winery.
This is Dr. Tom Cottrell. He is with the University of Kentucky Extension in Lexington, Kentucky. He's an enologist there.
I learned winemaking from the then 39 wineries in Napa Valley.
All right. We have Jason with us tonight.
Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Mike, from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Not only am I an attorney, that a good part of my practice focuses on wine regulations and litigation, but I also am the president of a vineyard up here. I started the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country.
Again, the website is greenbelt.com. Our phone number is 401-847-3777.
Info at hummingbirdridgewinery.com.
My dad always said I'm a jack of all trades. He said that. I'm just a little guy.
Anyone out there who is interested in this software, you really need to go check out this site. It's www.uncork.biz.
That's really what we're about, and that's, as you said, uncork.biz is where our main site is, and that's where people can read lots about it.
Info at vineyard@hershey.com.
Well, I grew up on the farm here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
We have a website, Waltz, vineyard with an S, don't forget the F.
Paul is a blogger.
It's blog.penlive, P as in Paul, ENNLIVE.com/wine, and that should get you to my wine classroom.
It's wineflower.com, all one word, wineflower.
It's all about wine. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you. One thing I want to add.
Back.
One thing I want to add quickly here. All those email and all those websites that you just heard in that opening, if you missed them or if you want to check them out, go to our website, and they're all listed there. So
we have a website.
we have a website.
DTR.com.
There you go.
Yes.
That's right. All about wine, BTR.com, BTR as in Blog Talk Radio, and click on the guest links, and the links are there. Covers all the years that we started having guests back in 2010. Which there were only three, and then it started growing from there, and we have a few from 2013, 2013 already. And plus, there's a player on the right-hand side that you can listen to past shows, a few of the past shows, and links to different things, but the information is there, and you want to be a guest, there's also a way to be a guest using the website. Go to allaboutwinebtr.com and check it out, and stay in touch with us. So that's a good way to, you know, get your link up there and also be on the program. We've had thousands of listeners.
Thousands.
And it keeps going up, and it's great. We're getting off to a really good start this year. It's fantastic.
All of you who do. Thank you.
Yeah. I will go grab our guest, and I'll be right back.
Okay. We have a guest tonight, which is not somebody brand new. This is somebody that you all heard me talk about. But first, before I tell you about the guests, I want to go quickly. FreeTheGrapes.org. I don't know if you are on their website, but if you're not, you need to be on, and you need to get them onto your Facebook page and stuff like that. Friend them or like them on Facebook. They just sent a new thing out. 40 down, 10 more to go. FreeTheGrapes.org. It shows a picture of a grape hauling a wheelbarrow full of, well, rocks or potatoes or something, but 40 down, 40 states down where the wineries can ship to consumers. There's 10 more to go. There's been a bunch of updates. We'll cover updates at either later in the show or next week or something, but freethegrapes.org. Get yourself caught up on that. It's a great site. It's a great great thing to follow, and so jump on that and catch that. Our guest tonight is someone that you've heard me talk about, someone that you've heard me mention, you've heard me reference many times, and I emailed her and asked her if she'd like to join us, and she said that she would be more than happy to, and we had her scheduled for last week, and speaking of last week, we want to apologize for last week. It was circumstances beyond our control. We logged on to Blog Talk Radio, and Blog Talk Radio was down, and we couldn't do anything. We sat here and waited and waited and waited, and after 20 minutes, after about 15 minutes, we cut the show off, and we didn't do it. But the guest and I, someone we've talked about a lot. I've referred to her a lot, her blog a lot. I've quoted her a lot. One of my favorite blogs, I've told you this over and over in past programs, I always enjoy it, and it's something that I've recommended many times to you. She's very good on the blog, little pictures and information and stuff like that. The blog is Joy's Joy of Wine, and it's Joy Neighbors who is the host of the blog, and Joy is in our green room right now. I'm going to bring her onto the show, and welcome, Joy. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing really quite well. Thanks for being on the show with us tonight. A week late. I just was telling everyone about the glitch last week on Blog Talk Radio, but got you on the show. Glad to have you here. So you do two blogs. We'll talk about the one on wine. The second one, I want you to tell people about it a little bit later. But right now, the one on wine, how did you get started on doing a blog on wine?
Well, actually, my husband and I owned a winery for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I loved the wine industry, very passionate about wine. And we closed it at the end of 2010, and I thought, you know, this is a part of my life that I'm not going to let go of, so what could I do? So I've done some consulting, but my real love lies in writing and in sharing that information about what I know and finding out new things. So I thought, why not start a blog? So in 2011, in February, I kicked it off.
Fantastic. Let's regress a little bit. A winery. You are in what, Illinois?
Yes, we are.
Is that where the winery is or was?
Yes, was. Uh-huh.
Tell me, if you don't mind, if it doesn't bring up Heartache. When did you open it? What did you do, and why did you close it?
Well, we opened it in November of 2000. Now, this was a situation, my husband and I actually lived in Cincinnati for about 10 years before that, and I worked at the PBS affiliates and was a producer, director, writer, and he worked in the pre-plate printing industry. And both kind of, you know, high-tech, stressful jobs. And one of his friends suggested that we go to one of the local wineries one weekend, just kind of chill out. And we're standing there, and the sun is setting on the vineyard, and one more load of grapes are going out to pick. And the woman drives by on her tractor with her little pinky extended with a glass of wine. And my husband turned to me, and he said, "We've got to get in this industry." And I thought, okay, well, that was just a passing fad, but it wasn't. He started making wine. And he worked, his father, we lived about 4 hours away from here, and he would come home maybe once every couple of months, and he and his father would make wine together. And it started to grow over the years, and suddenly they were entering competitions as amateurs, and they were winning big-time awards.
Wow.
And finally, Richard Vine, one of the gurus in the wine industry, said, "Guys, you've either got to open a winery or you've got to quit." And they said, "Let's just open a winery." So we moved back here. We're right across the road from where Brian grew up, the family farm. And we spent a year. We spent all of 1999 working on this to get a winery in place. And then we kicked it off in November of 2000.
Wow.
And it's been a tremendous ride. It really has. It's just been wonderful. And I've learned so much. Who would have thought going to visit a winery, you know, you would end up with your own, but that's how we did it.
And what prompted closing?
Well, actually, what's going on right now, we had a flood in 2003. And it was pretty rough flood. Where we are, the winery and the homes right here on the hill do not flood, but the water comes up to the mailboxes, and
ooh,
it cuts us off both directions on the road. And we were closed off for a couple of weeks. And, you know, okay, we can redo this, we can start again, because we had tremendous momentum. And in 2008, we had one of the worst floods they have ever had here. And right now, as I'm sitting here, I can look out over the cornfields, and we are flooded again. And they are actually saying that it could be as bad as 2008.
Oh, yeah. You are right there. I never, you know,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we just, you know, the second time, you try, but you can't rebuild that momentum, and it's very difficult. And we just decided it would be better to, you know, this is not going to be the location for the winery. When you get closed off for weeks or months, people's habits change, and suddenly you're desperate, you know, to be able to make your bills and keep your payments going, and to keep people thinking about the winery. And if they can't get there, they drift off to something else. So we just decided it was a good decision to go in different routes right now. Doesn't mean we won't do another winery. It just means we won't do another winery here.
Yeah. Well, wow, that's an interesting story there. And the floods, you have my sympathy. Everybody there does. I mean, we're seeing a lot of these news reports about how much it's flooding there, and it's tough. It's a tough situation.
It is. They issued a level one today, where that means everyone who's elderly or in some way incapacitated has to leave the area.
Wow.
So they've already started evacuations, yeah.
What, you are close to what area that is flooding? What river?
It's actually the Wabash River and a smaller river called the Ambra. And when that happened in 2008, the levees broke on both of them.
Ooh.
And, yeah, they're saying that the levee on the Wabash right now, they're having a hard time with. So we're sitting here thinking, well, I hope we're high enough up, because I'm just like the people you see on television. I don't want to go. So I'm just kind of keeping an eye out the window and hoping for the best.
Well, yes, definitely. You have our thoughts with you then too. That's we've talked to a lot of different wineries around the country over the last couple 3 years, and you know the weather has taken its toll on quite a few of them, and not just flooding, but all sorts of stuff. And it's tough. You're a farmer basically, and that's what really people don't realize. Wineries aren't just someplace you go and drink. You actually are a farmer, and you're stuck with the
weather. Plays a huge part.
It's a tough situation. So the blog, I love it. I really do. It's one of my favorite blogs. I have quoted you quite a few times on the program, and I've told information and plagiarized your blog quite a few times.
That's okay.
It's very interesting and it's enjoyable. The pictures and everything adds another depth to it and all that. So where do you get the pictures to pop in there? Where do you get your stories? Where do you get your information? And do you just make some of the stuff up, or is it do you actually research
it? After a few glasses of wine.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'll write about this now. Have some more Chiron.
Well, I'll have to tell you about naming a wine where that really did happen. But to answer your question, what I really do is I will sit down, and usually I do this around Thanksgiving, and I'll look at the next year, and I always post the wine blog on Wednesday. And yes. I'll start seeing, how I can kind of relate that seasonally, or if something... if it's a special day of some sort, like we had Malbec World Day a couple of weeks ago, so I talked about that.
Right.
And then I'll look and see what's out there that really interests me. Now, a lot of times, what's in the news will influence me. I've done blogs, about how Hurricane Sandy was actually going to affect the East Coast and the wine industry there. Or I've done some on, the anniversary of when Prohibition began. So it's just kind of a mixture of what I'm interested in and some history of wine, maybe some etiquette or current events that just kind of hit me. And I think, ooh, that would make such a good post, and I'm off and riding.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of whatever strikes your fancy. Hey, by the way, the one on Prohibition was an interesting one. I went into that a little bit more detail in the program and talked about it and all that too. That was the Prohibition changed this country. I mean, as far as wines go, it was an interesting, very interesting blog talking about that.
Thank you.
You said you try to keep up with current events and all that stuff. On things, I noticed that, today's blog, or yesterday's rather, today's Thursday, yesterday's blog was on Earth Day.
Yes.
And the greening of the wineries. And I have to, and as I was reading the blog, I was thinking about, we've talked to a few wineries around the country that were very, very green. I mean, it was just amazing how, Mike, I don't know if you recall the one out in California where they were, winemaker mentioned 3 or 4 times while we was talking to him about how they recycle everything and how they reuse everything and how proud they on environmentally friendly they are. And, that's an interesting thing on that, because a lot of wineries, I know a lot of wineries that do try to be green, but not that far into it. They recycle just about everything they can. They recycle bottles and all that stuff. The question in this, and if it is even a question or more than a statement, the cost of going green, the cost of operating a winery, operating a winery is expensive. You know that. You were in that. And the cost of going green on top of that, do you think it might be scary for wineries? You think it might be cost prohibitive for some of them to start going green?
I can see where some wineries would feel that way, but there's always little things that you can do, you know, even if you can't go with the solar panels or the wind energy or things that are, they're a very large ticket, you can still do some things, even if it's just in your winery facility, if it's in your tasting room, that can make a difference, that can be a little more green, you know. And I mentioned them in the blog, even reusing your barrels or recycling them. We always had customers who wanted to know when they could buy the barrels when we were done using them. And they came up with ideas that were just amazing. They were making wine tables. I've even seen a wine couch out of a barrel, you know, wine planters. It's interesting because there are things that you go, wow, these people are extremely creative. To me, it was a wine barrel, but they saw something else. And in a tasting room, there is so much that you can do that's more sustainable. And the paper and the packaging waste are two of the really big things, because for every 12 bottles of wine, there's a cardboard box. And if someone comes in and buys, you know, they're on a motorcycle, they buy two bottles, that's all that's going to fit in the little pack. And you sell more here and you sell more here, and no one really wants or needs that box. At the end of the day, you have several boxes stacked up. And it's either the winery recycles them, or we would keep them back for people who would need them for case purchases. Or you could come in and get your six bottles of wine and put your gift shop items in there. We always tried to reuse those boxes in some manner to help with the environment in that way. There's a lot of paper that goes on with tasting notes in a winery, because when people come, at least those of us who are over 40, like to have that physical sheet of paper in your hands when you taste the wine.
Right.
And you can go through so much paper if you do that. But if you put it on a whiteboard, or if you take that paper and you put it in one of the clear sheet protectors and keep it on the bar, you're cutting down on that, and you can always let people know those tasting notes are available on your website. So they can go home, and they can try the wine and compare it with the tasting notes on the site. Plus, they're already there. If they really love that wine, they can just reorder another bottle or two. So it's kind of getting them in there and getting them, you know, they're on your site and they're having a good time and they may want to purchase some more. Plus, you haven't put all that paper out into the environment either. The wine bottles, I couldn't believe the number when I did the research for this. Over 3.5 billion wine bottles every year that we just as U.S. consumers use, and only 30% of those ever get recycled.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of staggering to realize that. And actually, some of the recycling places will accept wine and beer bottles. They're considered container glass. But you have to check to see if they will do that in your area. But there are places that you can recycle. A lot of wineries, especially in California, have programs set up where you can bring your wine bottles back. And many times they will give you, if they charge for tasting, depending on what number they set, they will give you a free tasting. They will give you a percentage off your next purchase. So they're trying to encourage you to help them recycle those glass bottles. And a lot of them have the wine carry-alls, the little cloth boxes or cloth bags that you can put your wine purchase in.
Right.
Just like the grocery bags. And those are tremendous, because when I think back of all the paper bags that we went through, and, you know, in 2000 they really didn't talk about the wine bags. You weren't really aware that anything like that was there. But now that you're becoming more familiar and you're becoming comfortable using them at the grocery store, they're perfect when you go and you're just going to buy two or three bottles or six and put them in that container. They're very sturdy. You can sling it up on your shoulder, take it out to the car, put it in the trunk, and you're ready to go when you get home. You're not bringing more paper into the house that you're going to have to recycle. You just wash the bag and take it back. So there's a lot of different ways that just as a consumer you can help. You can save your corks. Some wineries are accepting those. And if they don't, there are places that will accept corks from consumers. So you can just bag them up and send them back. And I know maybe it's because I'm in the industry, but I go through a lot of corks, so it kind of helps out, too, to get those back.
Yeah, you know, there's some great ideas there, too, and a couple of them I particularly like. I noticed on the blog site, too, you had a couple of, or what, three different websites where people accept corks, use corks, and that's great. That's something that I didn't know was out there. We have a local liquor store and wine store chain down here in Florida called ABC Liquor, and they actually do accept corks for recycling, which is a great program for them. But the wineries, and this is something that I never considered, but the wineries offering a discount on tastings or something like that if you bring back your empty bottles, and just accept anybody's empty bottles. It doesn't have to be your particular winery. It's just anybody, just to get those things recycled.
Right.
Makes a big difference. I recycle everything, papers and bottles and everything I can, cardboard and all that. But we use the cardboard as much as we can, give it to customers, carry out. But you still end up with more than what you end up using. And so, like, every 2 weeks I make a trip to the recycling station and toss everything in and start over again. But that's a good idea with those bottles. I really like that, to get those things out of there, because there are a lot of bottles that are not being recycled.
There are.
You know, it's just amazing. The blog site. You just do it on Wednesdays. Why no more than that? Or you just don't want to? Don't have the time?
It's actually more of a time constraint. I have the wine blog on Wednesdays, and then I will post the cemetery blog on Fridays.
Mm.
And, you know, I like to take that Saturday, Sunday off, and then I've got the next week I've got to research for the two blogs and pull all the info together and write it. And so, yeah, it's more of a time element than anything, because I absolutely love doing both of them. And, you know, my husband asked me one day, well, if you had to choose, which one would it be? And I said, I can't. I don't know. I can't.
Well, how long does, you know, a typical Wednesday blog for the wine, how long does it take you to do the research and to get everything put together and pull the pictures in and get the thing set up? Give us a little timeline here on this.
I usually figure it's going to take me at least a day, unless it's a subject that I really am not familiar with and I need to do a lot more in-depth research on it. But, you know, I can start it at 9 o'clock and decide this is going to be the subject and then start in doing some research. And the cemetery blog especially, I have thousands and thousands of pictures. So then I have to go through and start looking to see, you know, what's going to illustrate this point the best and what do I want to use. And so, but it's all fun. That's what I love about it, is none of this is work. It's just I have so much fun doing it, and I have so much fun going out. Of course, there has to be time to go out and shoot in the cemeteries and talk to people and, you know, try different wines. So it's pretty much full time, but yeah. I really do enjoy it.
You mentioned the cemetery blog a few times, and I said at the beginning of the program when we got you on, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. What got you into cemeteries?
You know, it's amazing, because when you tell people you write a cemetery blog, you get one of two reactions. You either get the people who look at you and go, oh, that's nice, or you get the people who want to sit down and say, tell me where you've been. Tell me what you've seen. Tell me what you've written. It's that, oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
When my husband and I started dating, you know, we were just out of college, didn't have a lot of money, and we were living in Cincinnati, and we would get picnic baskets after getting off work, and we would go to one of the cemeteries. And they always have, you know, the nice little lakes, and it's landscaped, and there's usually a few of the stones that will have the benches, and we would end up picnicking, and there was nothing ever morbid about a cemetery. To me, and I say this in the blog, it really is like a cross between an art museum and a history museum. There is so much information there and so much beauty. And I can just spend days with a camera wandering around taking pictures, and I literally had to learn while writing the blog what this stone is, what this is called, you know, what kind of lettering this is, and when this stone was popular. And it just, it was just tremendous. Actually, it was my self-interest that is the reason I started the blog. And then because of Facebook, there are so many communities out there of like-minded people who share a love of cemeteries.
Huh.
And you can put that information up in the different groups, and you can say, I don't know what this is. Has anyone ever seen this stone before? And you can get answers saying, oh, well, yes, that's a cradle stone. Oh, why do they call it that? Well, because it's shaped like a cradle. It's not necessarily for a child, but that's what the stone is. And then that leads to more research. I've got a woman who contacted me from England because I did a blog post I think it was last spring, on the cemetery at the Indiana Insane Asylum in Indianapolis. And she contacted me in the fall, and she said, I am looking for this gentleman. His family is from England. He left for unknown reasons, and he died at that asylum. Would you know where his grave was? Well, I couldn't find it. So I started doing research. I found people who might be able to help her. And she wrote me a couple of months ago and said, it was a tremendous help. I'm making progress. And she sent me a copy of her current book, which actually had been, the queen had approved it and had her formal picture on the back. It was like,
wow.
This is so cool.
Yeah, that is.
And then I had an email from her today stating that someone had told her that the man is actually buried in Crown Hill Cemetery. So next time I go to Indy, I'm going to find the grave and get her a picture and send that off to her. So the contacts are just amazing, and it's people just like you and I. I've had so many people who are, well, what kind of people are interested in cemeteries? All kinds of people for different reasons. They may be writing a book, or they may be doing family genealogy, or they just may like going there because it's peaceful, or there's so much beauty there. But you can find people who just absolutely love it, and the fact that you can go on these sites and share that information has just made it so rewarding for me.
That's amazing. It sounds a lot like genealogy. My sister is into genealogy real big, and she's always telling me about the cemeteries that she visits and information she gleans from the cemeteries. And it sounds a lot like it ties well with genealogy. But also, I mean, there's so many other things. I never considered the headstones or the rocks that are used and the styles and the type of stone and all that stuff. It's a lot more involved than I would ever consider in a cemetery.
It really is. I spoke a couple of years ago at the Family History Expo, the Midwest in, a long way, Nebraska or somewhere like that. But the whole thing was, I was speaking on symbolism, and it's a silent language, especially these stones that are 19th century, because they're telling you a lot of different things. And you see some stones that are so ornate, and you may see the woman being taken up into heaven, and she's dropping petals as she goes, and she's basically letting go of her former life so that she can go farther. And there are, I did a blog around Easter a year ago on the crosses in the cemetery. You see crosses, you don't really think that much, but when I started really investigating these, there are so many different variations of a cross. There's a Celtic cross, and there's an Orthodox cross, and suddenly you're even finding crosses that have been handmade. We're back in the 30s, during the Depression, they couldn't really afford to have the stone made, and they made the little cross shape with the wood and poured the cement in, and that's what they used as a cross. There wasn't a name, but that is how they marked someone's grave to remember them. It's fascinating. I could take people on a tour of cemeteries and and make them weary with the explanations. It is so much fun to go in there and to look at a stone and go, oh, I know what that means, and I know what that means. And if you see, have you ever seen a tree stone?
I may have, but not recognize it as such.
It's a stone that actually looks like a tree trunk. And they had so many people
that's the
who
woodwork,
carved them.
Yeah,
well,
woodworkers or something?
Actually, there were two groups, Woodmen of the World and the Modern Woodmen of America. And Joseph Cullen formed both of them back in the late 1880s, early 1890s. They were both fraternal organizations for insurance companies.
Huh.
And one of his ideas was that if a member could not afford a stone, that the organization would place one on their grave. It would be in the form of the tree stone.
Ah.
And it really, really took off. But then the tree stones started to get kind of expensive for them to do that. So they started charging a small amount to each person to help pay for that. And then the cost got a little more expensive. And then they started just putting their emblem on a stone. You would purchase your stone, and they would come in and put their emblem on that stone. But some of the stones, some of the tree stones are not necessarily related to woodmen or modern woodmen, but you could purchase them in the Sears Roebuck or the Montgomery Ward catalog just because they were that rustic art from the turn of the century.
Wow.
And if you had a skilled craftsman who could carve locally in your area, you could tell him what you wanted carved. I've seen them with rifles carved on them. I've seen them, someone who grew a lot of flowers have had the flowers, you know, vining up. I've seen them with pets on them, with a hunter with the gun and the squirrel. So really, the stone itself can tell a story.
Hmm.
It's just, it is so amazing. Like I said, it's like walking in and you can spend the day reading.
Well, you know, and I suppose that would work with anyone. You wouldn't have to have all that knowledge. Once you walk into a cemetery, you can, I'm not a big cemetery person, but I've been in cemeteries before and different reasons and not always just because of funerals. But it's always fun to look at the different stones and see the ages of the people and see what, you know, they might post on there, what they were in their life and stuff. And that in itself tells a story. So you're right. It can be quite, and as you know more and as you find out more, it can be even more fascinating. So
it is. It really is.
We had a winery on from Missouri who had ghosts in the winery. Now we've got a blogger on that's passionate about cemeteries. So.
And I did, last October, I did a series of four blogs, and they were all about haunted wineries.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Did you include the one in Liberty, Missouri? Mike, help me here. I can't think of the name of the winery.
Oh, and I am trying to pull that up right now in the Midwest. Let me see. Because I think I did.
Yeah, I was there, and I can't think of the name of it. I actually was at the winery.
Missouri?
Yeah, Liberty, Missouri.
Liberty, okay.
Belvoir,
yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Belvoir.
There it is right there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It used to be on the Independent Order of Odd Fellows grounds.
Yes, that
yes.
used to be the
yes.
old building. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Odd Fellows home, and it was an insane asylum for a while, and it was a hospital. And
right.
Yeah, and it's haunted. I grew up right around that place there. I for years, it was the Odd Fellows home. But, yeah, it was a haunted winery. He talked to us about, and they have tours there actually, and all sorts of stuff. So,
I think they do special Halloween tours too.
Yeah, they have tours throughout the year. Actually, you can sign up for it. He said that they sign up for tours, for haunted tours, and they get booked up like months in advance. And he told a couple of stories about his experience with spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to refer to them as. He was on the program telling us about it. So it was quite interesting. It really was. And And so right around October, I think I might have referred to your blog then also talking about some of the haunted wineries in the country. So
I just pulled up their sheet. Let's see. March to November, they have investigations. They last 6 hours, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. I just pulled up my notes. There you go. I don't know about March, but that's kind of early, isn't it?
It seems. Yes,
I guess
that's
it doesn't matter.
Ready, yes.
That's, yeah, that's what I put down. Most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
Wow.
We talked to Jesse from Belvoir. Yeah.
Yes,
cool.
Jesse was the proprietor. You know, but it was interesting talk with him about the haunted winery, and it was fun. The future for your blogs, are you going to expand or just continue on doing what you're doing? Are you looking at starting a new winery and maybe sliding out of this? What is the future holding for you?
I don't think I could stop doing it now. I think I'm a little too addicted to it. Even if we did go ahead with another winery farther down the line, I would still continue my blogs because I just, like I said, I just absolutely love doing it. And I always learn something. And it's such a wonderful way to meet other people in the wine industry and share ideas and, you know, talk back and forth. I was invited to judge at the Finger Lakes International Wine Competition about a month ago.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Oh, Ron, it was the most wonderful experience. I mean, this is a competition that we would enter our wines in. I made sure I entered our wines in this because all the proceeds go to Camp Good Days, which actually is a camp for children who have cancer. And it gives them that week break to just be kids, to forget about the cancer, and to just be with other kids who understand. And I always, always entered our wines there. And when I was contacted by David Mayo, I thought, oh, yeah, this is, for me, it was an honor. It was just amazing. And I went up and I met the people, and I have judged at other competitions, and I've had a wonderful time. But I have never met people so dedicated and so sincere and so on target for knowing why they're doing this. And it just was tremendous to talk wine with these people and know that there was, you know, something really good, not just the medals or, you know, the fun stuff that comes, but something really good that was going to be the result of this. And it was a great time. It really was. And that was all because of the blog, because he read my blog and said, hey, would you want to do this? And I said, you bet I would.
Fantastic. So what is the qualification, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. We've talked to wine judges who actually went through all that. So the qualification that is just your knowledge, having a winery and doing that stuff and all that, and that's what he was looking at for you?
Yes. I'm a wine blogger, and my husband was the winemaker, and, you know, you've not lived the winery life until someone walks in at 8 o'clock in the morning with 6 samples of the same wine that they've crafted a little differently and said, okay, we're going to start tasting these and decide which one we're going to bottle. And you're thinking, oh, I just had eggs and bacon.
Yeah.
But you adapt. I've
been there, done that. I really have.
We actually came up with a brunch wine, just, you know, to say, this will go with the croissants and the cream cheese and the eggs and the smoked salmon for Sunday.
Yeah, my plantation of red, I call my beanie weenie wine. It goes great with beanies.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I understand that. I really do. Do you travel to different places to get information, or are you just sitting in front of your computer and turn off the lights and have the screen stare you in the face?
If it is somewhere feasible for me, I will travel. I will go talk to winemakers. You know, I'm not opposed to taking a look around a winery or trying a few wines. it's basically what the market will bear, what I can do in that window of time that I want to do to make a better story. A lot of times it's just on the phone. you know, just a call and some questions and some answers. And a lot of it is sitting in front of the computer doing the research and seeing, you know, does this match with this and does that really make sense? And no, that doesn't. So now we've got to find a source to explain it. So
no,
it's a combination.
That makes sense. Do you have any idea of how many followers you have? Do you have a, you know, like on Blog Talk Radio, we have our list of listeners. Do you have any idea how many followers you have on your blog?
I do, and I'm not happy. I have, like, unique visitors. I'll have 2,000 or 3,000 a month. But for the followers on the Blogger, I have 18.
18?
Yeah, it's like, people, please follow. Please member, like, whatever. Because it's, the numbers that no one ever sees are great. But you're looking at that going, 18? Come on, I know there are more people than that who read it in the past hour. Come on.
Yes.
So, yes, all your listeners, please go and follow. I would love it.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things here, too, and why, since you mentioned that, because I am one of those who listens, and I quote you, and I plagiarize you and everything, but I don't follow you because I click on, and you pop up on other sites. You come up as, I don't want to say right now offhand, but... Because you do come up on these other sites, I'll find you there. I'll just click on you. I'll read it. I'll save it. I'll throw it over somewhere. So if the program comes up, I've got you on there, but I'm not a follower. And I will be. After the show, I will become a follower, I promise. But you're right. All those people out there, Mike and I are well aware of this. Our numbers are tremendous. We have a lot of listeners to the show. But it's just like they're not out there.
Yeah, it's hitting that, you know, that follow or that like or that member button that, and I'm guilty of it too. But since I've been watching these numbers, I thought there are a lot of people who know some social media, but they don't understand that we're seeing numbers that are real numbers that they'll never see. So they look at that and go, wow, 18 people, not very many. And you're thinking, no, really? I have a great
audience.
Really,
I am good.
But they're just not following. And if that's the way somebody judges your blog, you're sunk. You just kind of go, So,
well,
yes, I would love to get the numbers up there.
Yeah, I do. I've done programs over the years, over the last 4 years, just dedicated to blogs and talking about blogs and telling people tune into the blog, you know, become a follower and stuff like this, because there are a lot of great blogs out there about wine. If people enjoy wine, it's a great way to find out stuff. And I've mentioned yours quite a few times because I've always enjoyed it. And so, you know, I will become a follower, and I will also, every time I do quote you again, I will emphasize, you know, tune into it and become a follower of your blog. Another question, suggestions for future guests. Do you have anything? I mean, this is not, you know, I find guests, and we're pretty lucky. We do a lot of guests. But do you have any suggestions for future guests, people that are in the, you know, that you've run across in your years in the business that you might think would be willing to come on?
Wow. talk about
if
drawing a blank. I just went,
Email me. You
okay,
you
I
know,
can do that. Yeah.
We've been
yeah.
emailing back and forth. If you think of anyone, email me. It's been fun. We've had some fantastic guests on, and I will have to put you onto that list of fantastic guests also. Thank you. But we got a hold of one young man up in southeastern Pennsylvania who knew a lot of people, and for like 2 months he booked people for me. I know. It was amazing.
Gotta love that.
He kept on, you know, sending me an email and say, okay, Ron, this week I've got, and you know, and he'd give me their phone number and the email, and I'd get a hold of them, they'd be on the program. but it was great. But we've had a lot of fantastic guests. We've had a lot of people, and it's and just like you say, it's you don't get the people who are actually there. You know that they're listening. You know that they're reading. They know that they're doing it, but you don't have any sound, solid evidence to say, hey, look at this, you know, I've got this, and so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
and the one number that everybody looks at is the one where you're going, oh, it's so much bigger than that.
Yes. It's like our Facebook page. We got a All About Wine Facebook page, and, we've thousands and thousands of listeners, but we got, I think, 32 or 36 people on the Facebook page.
I
mean, yeah. Just like,
I know. I've got the same thing with my Facebook for Joy of Wine, and you're thinking, oh, okay. And you can only ask friends so many times.
Yeah, I know. And I think those 36 are over half relatives. So Yeah, what can you say? I mean, but Mike, you have any questions for Joy while she's here?
I don't know about questions. I did find you were talking about the there was the California winery that was doing a lot of recycling and green type of things. I didn't find that one. I did find one in Rhode Island, Langworthy Farm that we talked to that they're using solar panel. 55 solar panels that power the winery and half of a bed and breakfast. They also compost grape skins, and they do a lot of I just couldn't find my specific notes for different ones, but that one came across my I've got scribblings on everything. I also share your interest in cemeteries. I've taken photographs for Find a Grave. I don't know if you're, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that.
Yes.
But I've done quite a bit on that, and I get requests in at least every week, every other week for I cover about 20 miles, I guess, close to here. So I just I spend time in them as well, and I take photographs, and they're very interesting and peaceful, and I don't have a problem with that.
I was actually on your site and looked at some of your
photos.
Mine? Yeah.
Oh, the photo. Yeah.
The
okay.
Photo, yeah, the photos. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And you have
okay.
some Woodman
wow.
of the World on there. You have some Cradle Graves.
That's right.
You do.
Yeah. Wow. And see, I didn't realize that there were different types like that. You start talking about them, I go, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the artistic makeup of it. You know, the designs you're talking about. The mm-hmm. Where they're reaching up to the sky or reaching,
right.
You know, different things like that. And I look at that, but I never thought about the different. I'm just looking at historical, it's very interesting. The founder of Pasco County, I bumped into his headstone up in Monticello, I think it was. Huge, and I didn't know who it was, and I read it, and I go, oh, my God, that's the founder of Pasco County, where we are, and I should know that, no. It's interesting, and now I'm looking at your other blog. So, yeah, you got you said – you have 2,000 to 3,000 followers on what? On your websites or where?
Absolutely.
You're trying to get
when you can do your stats and see how many people are your unique visitors.
Yes.
And are reading and that.
Mm-hmm.
A Grave Interest,
right.
And Joy of Wine each runs
okay.
in that. Actually, Grave Interest is running about 10,000 a month right now. It's,
oh my gosh!
It's
wow.
grown tremendously. Yeah, I'm really proud.
Wow.
of it. And then Joy of Wine.
Okay.
A little bit less, but.
Okay.
Anything to get
well,
the
we need
numbers.
To give out. Yeah, we need to definitely give out the websites, and then there was the other one that you were trying to push as well. You said only had 18. Was that what
yeah,
was that on?
Joy of Wine on
getting...
Blogspot.
Okay.
That's,
okay.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to get everybody over there and take a look at it. Very nice. Lot of information. Like Ron says, he's talked about it quite a bit, and she should get some kind of commission off of all the information.
Yeah, I plagiarize all the time. I really do. Yeah.
All the time.
I admit.
And this, according to yeah.
yeah. yeah.
So quite a bit. I remember back. I mean, pick a show, and you'll probably hear it something about it on there. So
yeah.
So, very cool. I really don't have any questions, I guess, but other than those comments. But we definitely want to give the website out and tell everybody to go check it out and check it out regularly. Your website and keep up with it. It's very, yep, very very cool. Very good information there. So definitely do that, and we would like to hear that. So
okay,
I just thought of something.
Okay.
While you two were talking there, something just occurred to me. You both started to talk about being, cemetery fans and all that. Is
mm-hmm.
there a name, or if there isn't, there should be a name, and we should coin one for people who follow cemeteries, who do that.
There is.
There is
Tombstone
a name?
Tombstone Tourist.
What is it? Tombstone
Tourist? Tombstone Tourist.
Tombstone Tourist.
Yes.
And that's actually what they're referred to as.
Yeah. Yep. You're a Tombstone Tourist.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
And
so
that's just
someone who likes
to wander.
You both are fellow Tombstone Tourists.
Yes.
Ah.
I guess I never heard that before. I'll have to, next time the dogs are barking. There's one up the street here that I called the owner and asked him if it was, because it was chained off, and they, you know, it said no admittance, and I called him and I said I have a couple of headstones I need to get pictures of for some, and I told him what I was doing. And he says, yeah, not a problem. Well, I get in this fence, and these giant, I don't know what they were, dogs, but they kind of looked like horses, but I knew there were dogs. They were growling and barking at me.
Very
nice. And now I can tell them, hey, I can be here. I'm a Tombstone Tourist. So
yeah.
Now I can put a title with that. That's pretty cool. I have my camera there. So, yeah, I guess it does look like a tourist.
Make up little cards.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah, little membership cards. I'm a Tombstone Tourist, and, you know,
that's right.
Make it all official. Cool.
Yep. little postcards, wish you were here, but not in that way, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit off there now.
We're good. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
that was good. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow, this is really cool. Okay.
Well,
I can put a title to that. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And I am going to real quickly give you the blog addresses. It's joyofwine.blogspot.com, and please follow that. And it's also on Facebook at facebook.com/joyofwine.
Now, are you on Twitter? And you said you're on Facebook. Are you on Twitter and doing feeds on there too?
Yes.
Oh.
And that is twitter.com and vinogirl. But it's V-N-O-G-R-L, no vowels.
V-N-O-G-R-L,
because actually that's what's on my license plate.
Vingirl.
I thought somebody just followed us on there. I think that might have been you.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Okay.
You're very observant. Yes, it was.
That's
finally.
You know, Mike's my man there. You know. I talk. He does all the technical stuff. And, you know.
A little delay here, but okay, good. I thought that sounded familiar. I was like, wait a second.
Right, very good.
I told
anything
you, though,
else you want to tell us about before?
Well, the only other thing I'll throw in is a grave interest, and it's at agraveinterest.blogspot.com, and there's a Facebook for it too, a grave interest.
A great interest?
Grave. Grave.
Oh, a grave.
Cemetery.
Grave.
G-R-A-V-E.
Yes.
Yes. I think he's thinking, are you thinking grape? No.
I was thinking grape. Grape. Grape.
No.
Grape.
Grape.
Yeah.
Grave interest.
And
oh, there you are. Okay.
How many wine people are really interested in the cemetery aspect, too. That's another
cool
dimension of it.
You never know.
Hmm.
There could be a whole subculture of Tombstone Tourists out there.
That are wine lovers, yes.
That are wine lovers, yes. And like your husband, who really knows how to show a girl a good time, taking her to the cemetery on dates and with wine. So.
It worked. I married him.
There you go. See? So, guys,
he
if you're courting
number,
someone,
yes.
That's what you do.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program with us tonight. We greatly appreciate it. It was a good interview. I enjoyed talking with you. I will continue to refer to your site, so please don't sue me for plagiarizing you. It gives you lots of exposure, I guarantee you. I'm always referring to you and telling people to listen to it and read it, rather. So
great,
there's a lot of information there that I'm always telling people that they should tune in and read through it and all that. So hopefully that's part of the numbers that you're getting on, that people are listening and doing that. So, again, thank you very much for taking your time to join us tonight. Our thoughts are with you with the water. Hope it don't rise too high.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Ron, excellent. Mike, thank you so much. I've loved it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank
it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll see you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, look. Okay. Yeah,
that
very
fun.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about the photos you were talking about. I was like, oh, yeah, I do have a gal around there. Okay.
Found a fellow tombstone tourist. How about that?
Yeah, I didn't know there was a title to that. But anyway, beyond that, it was we were talking about her wine blog as well. So.
Yeah.
maybe we can do like a ghost wine thing in October or something. I don't know. Well, maybe everybody's busy during that time, but kind of get into the spirit, so to speak.
Get a hold of, just do the whole ghost wine, everything like that. That would be good.
Yep.
And
get people in the mood for.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm looking for my paper here. I don't think I can wing it. Do you have any other information to add, or do you want to get into
not tonight, no.
Wine
well,
Fest? Okay.
Oh, I do have one thing I started to talk about a little bit at the beginning, and then Joy came on and joined us. And I want to jump back to this one more time and let everybody know, if you are not having freethegrapes.org on your Facebook page, go out and like them. Get them on your Facebook page. Because they have, over the last month, they have made great progress. They've gotten a couple more wineries that are a couple more states, rather, that are able to ship to consumers, direct to consumers. When we talked to them two or three months ago, they were fighting Massachusetts and Montana, or Wyoming, was it? Wyoming? Montana. I can't remember which. But when they were fighting them, both of those states now have opened up shipping directly. So 40 down, 10 more to go. You go on to their Facebook page, freethegrapes.org, and click on them, like them on Facebook, look at their site, keep up on it. The fight is there to get all 50 states so we can order directly and ship all over the place and not have to worry about the government stepping in and yelling at us or whatever.
Even Alabama? I thought Alabama was still on the we're still on the 1800s bandwagon.
Yeah, Alabama.
Alabama's.
I think Alabama's on the bandwagon.
Huh.
But
okay. Wow.
But there's others that are still have switched over. Like I say, Massachusetts was a big campaign, and that switched over. And Wyoming, Montana.
Montana says legal state number 40.
Okay, there we go.
That was on their hot topics.
That's the latest one. Massachusetts, Montana. So that was the latest one. So only 10 states to go. Join them.
Wow.
If one of the 10 states, whenever they send you stuff, contact your congressman, contact your representative, contact your state legislatures, contact everybody you can and will think of, and let's get all 50 states on there. We want to put that organization out of business, and they said they would love to go out of business because that would mean that all 50 states would be able to ship. So, but I just got the email in, or the Facebook thing in from them right before the program started. It popped in on me about that time, about an hour ago. And so I wanted to pass on to everybody. We've talked about freethegrapes.org lots of times. We've talked to them a couple of times over the years, too. And so check it out, people. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Now, that's cool. I don't know if you'll ever convert Alabama or, what's the next one, or Mississippi or something next to them. Yeah.
Alabama,
you might
Mississippi, Kansas, I think are going to be the last three.
Yeah. Oh, well, it doesn't hurt to try, and maybe that little push will do it. So
yeah,
definitely definitely do it. Get on there, freethegrapes.org. And, of course, I think we have the link on our website. So go to allaboutwinebtr.com, click on the guest links, and you'll see the links, including Joy's blog on there tonight. So that's cool. I already added that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, the weather here in Florida is going to be fantastic. It is in the 80s. I believe we have a slight chance of rain tomorrow, possibly, but the weekend is going to be amazing. Looking at highs in the mid-80s, lows in the 60s, and low humidities. It's right now, I believe the humidity is 44% here, so that's really nice. So not only is the weather great, but it's also great to go to the wine fest. There you go. Yeah, see how that kind
there
of...
There you go.
No? Okay.
That nice segue.
I don't know. I just... Sometimes it works. Sometimes you just get, you know, this. Yeah. There you go. So I'm on down to the wine fest, and I'll be back in a minute, and we'll tell you more about it specifically. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This Saturday. Yeah.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Wine Fest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Wine Fest.
Yeah, that is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, April 27th, right there at Florida Estates Winery. Come out and enjoy the weekend with live entertainment. This weekend will be from Sam Osborne. You'll definitely love his sounds as they play under the giant oak trees. Have a glass of wine, relax, and enjoy the day. It's going to be fantastic out there this Saturday, day after tomorrow. And let's see, you can also participate in an informative wine tasting with our own Ron, who is, you know, of course, the general manager and vice president of Florida Estates Winery, and shop your vendors. there's a lot of unique and handmade items and brand names that you have known for years. There's going to be quite a few. The list is amazing. Quite a few vendors, and you definitely want to check it out. Go out there and this Saturday. It's going to be great. And bring your cash. Some of them do take credit cards. Where is Don? No, not Don. The candles.
Box
there you go. That's what I was looking for. Yep, I know they take credit cards because that's what
Rock.
I used when I was there.
Yeah, Flame
what?
Rock. Flame
yes.
Rock.
Oh, those are. Yeah, those are cool. Those are really nice. So, but you do have a lot of handcrafted items. You do have regular vendors like Scentsy, Organo Gold, the Healthy Coffee is going to be there, and quite a few. It's a big list. So definitely go out there. Tupperware, there you go. Stampin' Up, there you go. Jessica, who makes a beautiful jewelry and is a Stampin' Up consultant, is going to be there Saturday for the first time, and you need to go out there as well. So go to Florida Estates Winery, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday, and enjoy the day there. Pet-friendly, kid-friendly, family-friendly, and it's a great time. So go out there, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and relax. It's great. Let's see, that's April 27th. What else do we have next Thursday? May the 2nd will be our next show, and it's in the planning stages.
It's in the planning stages. I talked to the operators and owners of Waterloo Container Company, and she said she would be more than happy to be a guest. She would get back with me. She hasn't gotten back with me yet. I will follow up this week on that, and very possibly we could have her on as our guest next Thursday evening. So that's what we're looking at right now. And if not them, there's always things to talk about because there's so much when it comes to All About Wine. Notice my
right.
segue there?
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know how to follow that. Thank you. the best way to keep up with what's happening, you can go to the website because we do have the Facebook feed on the main page. You can go to allaboutwinebtr.com. And you'll see on that first page a little welcome message and then the Facebook page, the Facebook feed. So every time Ron posts something about our upcoming shows, goes to the website. Or you can go directly to facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And that does, you know, as well. But the website makes it easier because it's all there. And if you want to be a guest, contact us. There's a contact there as well. And go to the website or, you know, contact Ron directly, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Okay, that's the way to do it. So we'll go ahead and close show. Let me go to the bottom of this list here. We will close
Thank
the show
for
this
listening
evening.
Again.
And,
always appreciate
yeah,
it. Thank
you very much.
Joy. She was
Archive,
a good guest.
Live listeners. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, very cool. May 2nd will be our next show. We'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for fixing the problems from last time. But apparently it was site-wide. It was major. And they are.
Major
they
problem.
They work
on
it. Yep. But we're back. All right. We'll see you all next time. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Which one is this? Is this the same?
Everybody can.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.